when I would be afraid, I developed panic attacks during that time as a young child, and I would get afraid. And so when I did, I would run to my grandfather's house, and he would, when I would get there, he would open his arms and he would take me in his arms and love me, and all the fear would go.
Staigute, welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear from a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee as she talks about fear, family, and what it means to be forgiven.
Hi, my name is Linda Chiltoski, and I'm a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians from Cherokee, North Carolina. I grew up most of my life in Cherokee. I was born with a dislocated hip, and at 20 months old, I was taken from my parents and placed into a crippled children's home. And my parents were able to visit with me there, but they were only able to visit maybe once every 3 months or so. So I really didn't keep contact with them in the ways that I felt like I needed to. I was nurtured there by an elderly man named Isaiah that was black, and a lady that happened to be a clerk typist that worked there at the hospital, and her name was Joyce, and she was that. Those were my mother and father figures during that period of time. Once a month, they would take my leg back out of the socket, and they would put it back together, and I stayed in a body cast from just under my arms all the way to my toes. I grew there through the years, and I became pretty dependent on those two people. I went back to that hospital for 18 years till I was 18 years old. Once a year I would be examined there, but I stayed in the hospital until I was 5 years old. My parents took me back to the reservation at 5 years old, and I came into a family where there was a lot of other children because my parents kept foster children. And at that time, I had a sister that was 5 years older than me. So when I left home, she was already 5 years old. And when I returned, she was 10 years old. So there was a lot of jealousy there, you know, because she was the only child, and I had a rough time being the younger sibling at one point, but we became close later. My parents were people that wanted to work a lot, and I was left alone quite a bit, but I was nurtured then by my grandfather a lot, and my grandfather lived about a mile and a half or so from where we lived, and when I would be afraid, I developed panic attacks during that time as a young child, and I would get afraid. And so when I did, I would run to my grandfather's house, and he would, when I would get there, he would open his arms and he would take me in his arms and love me, and all the fear would go. And as I grew older, I began to, suppress that fear. I began to learn how to not be afraid in the public's eye, but yet inside I had a lot of fear that had developed. Most of it was because I was left alone a lot. My father was a Baptist minister, and we spent a lot of time in our local church, but I had an emotional experience at the age of 8 and thought that I had given my life to the Lord, but it was pretty much just religion. And so as I grew up and started to develop into a young woman, I found other ways to get nurtured. And one of the things that I did at one point was I moved away from home, and I went out into the white community and went to school. And as I did, I began to find relationships. And so as a young woman, I made a lot of mistakes. I spent a lot of time away from home and really actually lived a double life, because one life at home was that I was religious. On the other hand, when I was away and in school, away from there, it was a life of sin. As I had relationships, I got into a lot of other things. You know, I never did get into drugs or alcoholism, but I just kept needing someone to love me. And I would go from relationship to relationship trying to find that love. As I did, I began to realize that something was missing, but I didn't know what was missing. And for a number of years, I went through this kind of situation from person to person. And then eventually I got to a place where I had dated a guy in high school, and I had come home after a broken relationship and picked up with my relationship with my high school sweetheart. And during that time, I ended up getting pregnant, and I had a really hard time, because in my family it was unacceptable to be pregnant without a husband, and so I couldn't tell them. So I talked to my high school sweetheart, and he didn't want to have anything to do with me. He said that he had other plans, he had other things to do, and that he had come out of a relationship too, also, that was very needy. And so I ended up marrying someone else when I was 3 months pregnant. The man that I married kept telling me over and over, "It'll be okay. Nobody will ever know that you're not pregnant by me. They'll just think it's my child, and I'll help you raise it, and I'll help you do whatever you need to do." But it didn't turn out that way. I began to experience a lot of domestic violence through that, because of the problems that he had, and because of the things that I had allowed in my life. So the closer it became time for the baby to be born, he began to do some awful things to me. And at least he would stop whenever he wasn't drinking, and he didn't pick on my child. But during that time, he did really, you know, some really horrible things. He would pull her hair and pull my hair, and he'd drag us around. And so, as it turned out, I thought, well, the best thing that I can do is get out of this situation. So I tried to run away and tried to get away. And I went back to an area where I'd been before, which was a couple hours away. And I stayed a few nights. And then while I was gone, he'd developed a relationship with our neighbor's wife, and I caught him in a local motel, and I caught him with her, and I told him that I wanted a divorce. But I didn't realize that at that time that I was about 6 weeks pregnant with my second child. So as my second child came along, we were alone, and when she was born with a heart problem, and I was alone during both of my deliveries. But my mom and dad always helped me, and they tried to do what they could do for me. But I still was living a life of sin. I still hadn't given my life to God. I didn't pray. I didn't trust. You know, I just was kind of going on my own. As I did, I would make so many mistakes, but my dad and mom always would be there, you know, to help me out and to do whatever needed to do. My dad kept my children a lot. But my youngest child had to have a heart operation. And so we had to go to a nearby town, which was about 5 hours away. And we would have to go for checkups. And she had multiple problems. She had skin rashes. She had a lot of different things that were going on with her at that time. And so it was months before she was able to have her surgery. And she was 5 pounds and 11 ounces when she was born. But by the time she had her surgery, she only had weighed like 7 pounds, 8 pounds, something like that. She was very small and had not developed very much. So it came to a point where she had to have the surgery or else. I finally decided that it was time for me to pray. So I prayed and asked God to spare her life, or, you know, help me through it if she passed away. She did have the surgery, and she lived, and by the second day after her surgery, she had gained 10 pounds. So we were, you know, she was on the way to mending. As I raised my children, they became 3 and 5, and I was, had gotten back in a relationship with my high school sweetheart, and I had told him that my first child belonged to him. Well, he didn't want to accept that, and we stayed with him for a little over a year or so, and I'd had an off and on relationship with him for about 15 years, and so finally he decided that he wanted someone else instead of us. I caught him in my yard seeing someone else, and he brought her right into our yard, and I peeped out the window. I was going to call him to get something to eat, and he was out there, and he was kissing this other lady in my yard, and they were partying in my yard. And so I went inside, and I got all of his clothes, and I put them in a plastic bag, and I called him, and I told him, here's your clothes, because I'd had enough. I had had enough of what this life of sin was and what it offered, and there was nothing that was positive about it except my 2 children. That was the only 2 things, and I worked 2 jobs trying to keep them up and trying to make sure that they had what they needed, and my father helped me out and taking care of them. But during that time, I had no one, and I had come to a broken place in my life where I just didn't have anybody. I didn't have anything. I didn't have anybody. And so at that point of a brokenness, I knelt down in my living room floor. I prayed to God, and I told God of all the mistakes that I had made. And I told him that I didn't know him, that I'd had an emotional experience at 8, but that I didn't know who he was. But my father knows you, I told him, and I asked him to come into my heart. I gave him all my life story, and I laid it before him. And I asked him to forgive me. From that day, I never turned and went back in another direction. I never went back to the life of sin. You know, Jesus came to this earth to forgive us of our sins. He died, and he shed his blood for all of us. And for everything that we could ever experience, he carried that upon his body. And within his body, upon that cross. And he did that so we could be right with God.
What about you? Are you right with God? That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross, to pay for our wrongdoing so that we could be forgiven and so that we could have peace with God. He tells us in his word, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God? It's only possible through his son, Jesus Christ. If you're interested, pick up a Bible and carefully read the Gospel of John. Ask God to show you through his word how you can be right with him. And if you have any questions, be sure to let us know and we'd be glad to help. You can write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. Our web address is withoutreservation.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? Then download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell. So be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.